I've called this, the sermon, I've called it, Calling on the Name of the Lord. Genesis chapter 4, verse 26. So let me go back to verse 25. And Adam knew his wife again. She bore a son and called his name Seth. For she said, God has appointed for me another offspring instead of Abel, for Cain killed him. To Seth also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. At that time, and here it is, at that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord. Read that again. At that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord. I don't know why it was. I don't know how it was. I don't know where it was. But at a certain point, something changed. You see, I think it's important to know that at this moment, there was no choirs. There was no Hebrew-Greek translation. There was no Bible schools. There was no churches. There was no temples. There was no Christian literature. But somehow, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Who can explain it? Who can understand it fully? Was it because the crops failed? Perhaps. Was it because of sickness? Was it because of war? Was it because of famine? Was it because of plagues? We don't know. We don't know. All we know is that this Jehovah, this God, hears and answers and will help you and will help me if only if we call out to him. That's the prerequisite. This is the something happened when they called out to God. This God hears and answers and will help us. There's something about this God. If you call out to him, as Isaiah chapter 12, verse 4, call upon his name. Call upon his name. So let's consider that just for a moment. To call. Their men began to call on the name of the Lord. Now, what does that mean? Well, the definition, it progressed. To cry out means to call out. This is not a whisper. This is not a mumble. It's to call out. To cry out meant to beseech. It meant to beg. It meant to plead. To call is to raise your voice. And then it progressed even a little bit further in its understanding. Men began to call on the name of the Lord. They began to praise and to worship and to exalt and to celebrate and to rejoice. And then it progressed even further, where it meant to tell a friend, to go public, to announce together with others, to tell someone else or to tell a friend, and to proclaim publicly. That all had to do with that word call. Now again, remember, there were no people called Christians. There were no Jews. There were no Gentiles as such. There were no denominations. There were simply a people who were called by this title, people who called on God's name. People who called on God's name. They asked the question, have you heard about the God who will hear you? The God who will hear you. The one who says, call upon me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you know not of. So the patriarchs knew something about this. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. In Genesis chapter 13 and verse 4, let me turn to that. It's worthwhile reading, chapter 13 and verse 4. So it says, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai, to the place where he had made an altar at the first, and there called upon, he called upon the name of the Lord. I would say here this morning, every one of us have altars that we need to revisit, and we need to call upon the name of the Lord, to the God who draws near. The God who draws near. The God who says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. That's who we call upon. You see, whenever you call upon him, when he hears that cry, he will come. I know that. I know that from my own heart. But he waits. He waits till you cry out before he will come. But this is what suddenly people began to call on the name of the Lord. What an amazing, insightful thing that is. That when he hears that cry, he will come. He will come. I suspect that Anya called on the name of the Lord recently. I know that William called on the name of the Lord recently. Call out to God. It's different. It's a different thing. It's not just a little prayer. It's not a mumble. It's not a little devotion. It's not a prayer request. To pray unto the God that hears the cry and he will come. He can't help himself. This is the God. Have you heard about this God? This is the God that hears prayer and comes to you when you call to him. Deuteronomy 33:29. He said, who is like you, Israel? Happy are you, Israel. Why? Because no other nation on earth has a God who will hear you when you cry. This is him. This is the one. Who has a God who will help me? What a message. If we go wherever you go, wherever I go, I can say, this is the God. There may be lots of gods. By the way, there were lots of gods in this time. But for whatever reason, they began to call on the name of the Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Lord, Jehovah. Said, who else but you? Who else but you has a God like this? You belong to the God who will hear you and who will help you. It's not a mental exercise, by the way. It's not a mental exercise. It's not something cerebral. It's the cry from the heart. Knowing that if I call out to him, if I really call out to him, he will help me. I know that even from reading from 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 20 to 24. And for the sake of time, I won't go through it all because you know it. There were the gods of Baal. There was 450 of them. And they were tormenting Elijah until finally Elijah could take it no more. And he said, how long will you go on with this? He said, now it's showdown time. And he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to build an altar and call upon your gods. So they built the altar. They began to call upon God, and they began to cut themselves and scream and holler and yell. And Elijah, this is amazing to him. And he said, maybe they're not home. Maybe you should call louder. That's probably you weren't yelling loud enough. So they began to yell louder. And it's an amazing story. You picture this. There's blood flowing everywhere, and they're crying out to God, and they're dancing around, and they're flinging themselves into the fire. And they finally had to say, it's not working. It's not working. And so Elijah says, get the altar ready for me. Pour water on it, because we don't want you to ever mistake who did this. So they pour down more, get more water. Dampen everything around, a big radius around. And then Elijah says, God, answer me. Answer me. Answer me, God, that they will know it's you. And the fire fell. You see, Elijah said, whoever answers when we call, this is the God that will answer by fire. And he did. Where was the proof of God? When the fire fell. He knew it. He knew it. He just to call on his name. There was no other way to do it. This was a showdown time. But it's the God who has to help us because that's how he presents himself. The God who will hear you, the God who will help you. If you call on his name, he has to answer us. I love this. Is why he said, happy are you, Israel. What nation has a God that helps them personally? And you know, and I know the history of the children of Israel. Every single time when they called on the Lord, without fail, God would come. They would turn their backs on him. They would sin greatly. And then they would repent. They would call on God with all of their heart. And God would come to them again. This is an amazing revelation of the nature of God. I think of Psalm chapter 4, verse 1. Let's turn to some of those. Psalm chapter 4. It's verse 1. Answer me when I call. Remember, it's not a little prayer. It's not a, oh, dear Lord, it's a cry from the heart. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Verse 3. But I know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. The unique nature of him. Coming to me because I lifted my heart and my voice and my life towards him. You know what? If we backslide and we drift from God, you know, this is a time when everything and everybody beats up on you. If you've ever been away from God, you'll know what that's like. Where you feel yourself far from him and everything is against you financially and every other way. And we cry out to God and say, God, I don't deserve any of your help or any of your blessing. But I know that you will hear me when I call out. And then, and he does. Can hardly believe it, right? You've drifted. If you fling yourself upon him and you cry out to him, he will come and he'll help you. Psalm 107, verse 18 and verse 19. Again, I won't take time for some of these because you can read them as well as I can. But I do know that Psalm 14 and verse 4 said, there's a group of people who did evil and did not call upon the Lord. Right? This is the thing that if anything irks God, it's the fact that you didn't call out to him. He's the God who will hear and answer you, but you have to cry out to him. It's if you call to him. Right? It's if you call to him. When we humble ourselves, we call upon his name. I think of Psalm 116, verse 2 to verse 4, he says, then I called on the name of the Lord. I think of Psalm 50 in verse 15, call upon me in the day of trouble. And if you wonder why trouble comes, it does come to all of us. It's just part of our experience as believers and as humans. But the day of trouble has a purpose. It's because God wants praise from me. God's wanting me to call upon him in the day of trouble. He said, I want praise from you, Owen. And I said, Lord, have mercy upon me. You see, trouble reminds us of how badly we need the Lord because it reduces us to a childlike dependency. So I just have to call upon God. That's why many, many times, and I got to say it carefully because I don't want to discourage people coming to pray with me. But people would say, Owen, would you pray with me? Sure. But oftentimes, maybe 80% of the time, I'm often praying more intently than they are. How could that be? How come I'm lifting up my voice and I'm weeping and I'm crying and I'm asking God to help them and they throw the odd amen in? And I thought, they want me to pray, but this thing hasn't brought them to their knees yet. Glad to pray, but if I'm going to pray with you, you should be praying harder than I'm praying. I will join you. But see, this is when you call. Are you calling on the Lord? That's the difference. To call on the Lord. Because that's all, you see, all the church has. The only weapon we have, the only weapon we have is to call on the name of the Lord, to the God who hears and answers prayer. That's how, even revival in our church, and how God knows we need it. But revive us, O Lord, And this is the scriptures, and we will call upon your name. See, a sign of revival is that people are calling on the name of the Lord. That's how you tell if you have revival or not. It's not as though they're rolling on the floor, not as though they're giggling or doing this or doing that or having gold sprinkled on their teeth. That's just silliness. And we all know that in our hearts. But when people start calling on the name of the Lord, that's revival. Right? That's revival. Because it touches our heart, deeply touches our heart. See, the point of it is that God won't adapt himself to our culture. We have to adapt ourselves to God's culture and to call on him. And so we say, well, what, you know, we get caught up in other things that we think that might help us. And I know it won't. I mean, we'll do a campaign. Well, we'll do lots of them. We'll probably do some more in the future. And have a certain emphasis. That's not going to help us against the devil, against demons. Right? Well, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And it's all good. Right? It's all good. Do something for the children. Do something for the youth. Do something for the adults and have good programs. We're not against, not anybody's against anything so far. What we're simply saying is that is not what the church has been given. You see, we have this unique relationship that we call upon the name of the Lord, the one who will help us. And as we do that, if our whole prayer and prayer life is on that, see, we're always looking for something beyond it, where this is, I know that the whatever revival will be in this church, and by the way, I do sense a little stirring in the mulberry bushes, and I think it's good. And we want to pursue that in any way that we can. But I do know that it's often funny what we will be upset about. Just for example, we'll be upset about the lack of prayer in the school. People are so, oh, there's no prayer in the school anymore. I'm a bit embarrassed about that, that we would feel this way. Why would there be prayer in the school? There isn't even prayer in the church. We're so worried about prayer in the school. Right? Prayer meeting's the smallest meeting in the church. Oh, yeah, but there should be prayer in school. There's not even prayer in the church. Doesn't that kind of say, see, this is all we've got is prayer. So we're worried about same-sex issues. Yeah, I get that. But that's none of our business. That's what the world's doing. Our business is to call on the one who hears us and helps us. Right? That's how. I imagine in Rome, people say, you know, we're kind of worried about Caligula and Claudius because they're changing the rules and they're coming up with laws that are not Christian. And the early church could care less about that as long as people knew how to call on the name of the Lord. That's our strength. That's everything that we have. And so if you hear something that Caligula was a cross-dresser, oh, you know, I can't believe this is not terrible stuff. Who cares? Who cares what he was or is, right? What? Nobody cares. If you understand, our only thing is not in a program. It's not in, it's you and I calling on his name. Most important meeting that you'll ever have. That meeting where we call on his name. Who cares what the world is doing? You see, Satan's not afraid of computers. He's not afraid of marketing strategies. He's not afraid of cool music. He's not afraid of trendy churches. Right? He's not caring about that at all. He simply tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13 that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So we call on the name of the Lord. I'm thinking, the day of Pentecost, it was kind of interesting, wasn't it? What was the church about? They were called for 10 days of prayer. And all they were told to do was to pray. You can read that in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2. And when they began to call the name of the Lord, the heavens opened, fire came on the heads of people, they began to speak in other tongues, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, what was the program? There was no program. There was just prayer. There was just people calling on his name. Now, when we take this God to the world, it's like, Richie, it's like you just told us that story. You come in, there's this baby turning blue. There's no programs. There's just prayer. right? And they laid hands in faith, and that baby revives because it's the God who hears and who answers, who I will come near to you. Right? So that's how it will always be. It will always be along that line that when we call on God's name expecting. Now, this is why it's not a little prayer, shall we pray? Like I was listening to a tape, and it was nothing wrong with it. It was a liturgy, and it was, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy. But I'll tell you, by the third stanza, I said, somebody should call on the name of the Lord who hears. That the ritual, that's not the kind of prayer that we're talking about. When Elijah calls out to the God of Elijah, there's not a just, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy. Listen, the demons are watching. The forces are watching. This is what's all important is that cry from the heart. I will call unto the Lord because this is his name. This is how he works. And when men start calling all over the world, you can say this, right? When you meet people today, this afternoon, and they've got a marriage crisis, you say, I would be glad to pray for you, but I'm going to call on the name of my God about your marriage. And it may not be pretty then when I start calling on him. Right? I mean, I may shout, I may loudly proclaim till I know that God's heard that. Once we're convinced that God's heard that prayer, then we say, it'll be all right. Why? Because he told me to call on his name. That's what he's like. This is why, O Israel, happy are you that you belong to this God who will always help you. He will always help you. But not if you don't cry out to the Lord. It's okay, you can get the church to cry out for you, which we welcome, and we will schedule meetings where we can call on the Lord collectively together, and you can get individually, each one of us, to pray along with you. But my friend, the Lord is speaking to you today that you need to call upon him with all of your heart about that lost loved one, about the condition of the church. And I know this even about the church. We've talked about this, that if we want to see, you can't offer a 25-cent prayer and expect a $1 million answer. So did you call on the name of the Lord? Well, we had prayer. But was there any sense of it that you shook the gates of heaven? Because you said, this is God, you are the only thing we have here going for us. And we're going to call on you. 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 Knowing that he's waiting for me to call. You got to love a God like it. God will help us as a church. God will help you individually. I don't know what it is you're facing in here this morning. Our time is gone. But I don't know what you're facing. All I know, call on his name. There's a little song that's basically gone to my brain. Now it's too late for me. But Randy, there's just a little thing. There's one line to this song. But it riveted my brain. We have to sing it. I just phoned him late in the week. I said, do you know that song? And we finally tracked it down. It's Call Upon the Lord and Be Saved. So maybe Randy, just sing that through.
Call upon the name of the Lord and be saved.
Can you imagine this, dear ones here this morning? How different it would have been in their minds and hearts that nobody had called on that name until then. Maybe it was the crops failed. Maybe demons. Maybe disaster. Whatever happened, it says that's when they began to call on his name. What a God. That's the God we bring with. That's the God that we tell people about.
We love you, Lord.
The one that wants to help them. It's Jehovah.
Yes, we praise you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. How blessed are we? We may not have political clout. There may be things that we don't have as a church, but we have one thing. We've got the secret weapon.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And it's always the answer. Call upon me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. So, Lord, as we dismiss from this meeting, but never from your presence, we don't care about the prophets of Baal because we have a God that we can call on. Hallelujah. So good. So good. Thank you, Lord. Bless each person here today. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. You're the best.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for your mercy and your kindness towards us. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. If you have a connection card you need to drop in one of the bins, please do that. And if you need prayer, on you, don't go too far away. If you need prayer, we've got some prayer people here. And if you need coffee, that's the door over there. The Lord bless you. Thanks for being here this morning.